to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 218 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. The red flag is lifted. We are officially green for tonight's very special NASCAR Trucks Series show. I am so excited about this one. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. Listen, guys, I'm going to get right into this thing tonight. No five-minute monologue intro for me. Tonight's going to be one of the most unique and different shows that I have ever done. I've been wanting to do this topic for an entire show for a long time. It took a minute to find the perfect guest to have to do this. And without further ado, Lap Traffic Nation making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's the senior associate producer with Fox Sports, social media guru, and dare I say, most importantly, he is your 2020 Lap Traffic Podcast guest of the year. Welcome back to the show. It's CJ Wolliver. CJ, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, buddy, I'm going to start signing up for shows just so you can do intros for me, man. I love it every time. It's so much fun. I also like being the truck guy. I've built an entire career around the NASCAR Truck Series, and it makes me happy. I like it.
I tell you, it's kind of, to me, if you're a truck fan, like, that you're the cool kid in town if you're a truck fan, because anybody can go be a Cup fan, but are you a truck fan? Like that's the upper echelon as far as I'm concerned.
I love it. My first race ever was trucks at Bristol Motor Speedway. I watched Rick Corelli roll to a win at Bristol Motor Speedway, and so I've always had a soft spot for the NASCAR trucks. In 2021. It's certainly going to be a big one. So this, you picked the right time to do.
Yes. No, I'm very excited. All right. So before we dive deep into trucks, and we are going to dive deep into them, let's start with this. It's still kind of close to the holiday season because we're still in January. How are the holidays? How are your New Year's? How's the off season been treating you?
Yeah, I mean, it's different, of course, because unfortunately we are still in the midst of a global pandemic, so trying to be safe. But we were able to spend some time with our families, and so that was good. This off season has been so different from every off season that I've worked so far with NASCAR on Fox, because on the digital side, we will not be on the ground for the Daytona 500 in 2021. It just obviously doesn't really make sense for us to put ourselves or the other people that are essential for the competition side of things to put ourselves at risk there. One thing that is good is that we will have a name that everyone knows on the NASCAR on Fox team that works with the digital side a lot that's going to be there helping us out. Not going to say exactly who it is just yet, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that can probably guess who that's going to be. But we will have someone from the digital team that will be boots on the ground for Daytona, and it'll make a lot more sense than CJ being boots on the ground in Daytona. So that'll be good. Today was kind of my hit the ground running kind of day. It's time. We're coming around the block to the 500. We put up on NASCAR on Fox, by the way, make sure that you're liking and following at NASCAR on Fox with the blue check across the board, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We put up our schedule today. I was building a graphic to show off that new number 99 Daniel Suarez car. Like, I know this is the truck show, but man, did you see that 99 for Trackhouse?
I did. I tell you, dude, what, man, the paint scheme crews on all the teams are coming out strong out of the gate. Like, they're not waiting for Darlington. They're getting started in February.
No. I tell you, whoever Pitbull hired to design his car is fire. But that 99 looks like somebody just plucked it straight out of iRacing and put it on the racetrack. I cannot wait to see that Suarez 99. It's beautiful. If you haven't seen it yet, we just posted a few minutes ago on NASCAR on Fox Facebook and Instagram. Go check it out. She pretty.
That's great. So I want to dive back something that you just kind of mentioned here a second ago, and that's about, you know, in terms of boots on the ground, who's going to be out there and all that kind of stuff. You know, talk a little bit for a minute about, you know, when we look at the off season right after Kyle Busch won his second championship at Homestead, 2019 season in the books, you know, the off season after that was business as usual. The 2020 season started business as usual, you know, and then everything hit the fan four races in. How have you guys prepared differently this off season from Fox, from a broadcast, from a social media, you know, from years past?
Well, I mean, the main thing is we always build our content and coverage strategy for NASCAR on Fox Digital around access at Daytona. That's kind of been one of our, you know, that's one of the biggest things that we put in our arsenal, is that we have access. We can get behind the scenes. We can get up close to the machines. We can get access to the drivers to ask them the questions that fans want us to make sure we can ask. But of course, due to the pandemic, that's not something that we're able to necessarily leverage in 2021 right now. We're hoping that that is not the case for the entire season, but for the 500, we're going to be from a distance. I do think that that gives us the opportunity to bring a lot of really cool behind-the-scenes cameras on the Fox Sports apps, that sort of stuff. I think we're going to have a lot of really cool ways for fans to view and experience the race. It's going to be fresh in 2021. The Fox Sports app is going to be just pure Daytona. The second the Super Bowl has ended, it's going to be a lot of Bob Pockrass content. It's going to be a lot of cool video content. I mean, NASCAR on Fox has a throwback race this year. You know, we get to do the Darlington throwback race on Fox. So that's going to be a lot of fun and, you know, cool ways to show off paint schemes. It's mainly just, instead of that organic, here's a cool video of CJ standing in the garage 2 feet from Bubba Wallace's number 23 car. That would be what I was planning on if we were going into this like a normal season. But now it's, you know, how do we leverage the available feeds that we have? You know, how do we leverage the access that we can get? Because, sure, you know, we've got to do all this stuff from afar, but there's still so much. We've come so far as pandemic content creators go. I mean, when this first happened, I was like, man, we're shut down. How do we do this? But we figured out a way to get live feeds. We figured out a way, you know, basically Daytona 500 Media Day, which every year is the Wednesday before Speed Weeks really kicks off, sometimes the Wednesday before the 500, and you have everybody that is anybody in the sport in the same room, the same day, and you get all the content you need there. Well, this year we did kind of, there's always the Charlotte Media Day that's in January, that's before Daytona 500 Media Day. We held that in the Fox studio in Charlotte. So we did get a lot of cool content there. Getty got a lot of their images there that you're seeing of the new fire suits and that sort of thing for 2021. But a lot of these, a lot of the media availability and the ability for writers and the media that's not necessarily Fox or NBC to ask questions, that's going to be over Zoom.
Yep.
For Daytona 500 Media Day. And I know a lot of people thinking, well, that's not necessarily going to feel the same. But these Zoom videos, everything that's said, somebody has a high-res video of that. Somebody has that audio that they can immediately clip and get to you, the fans. You don't know how many things are sometimes missed because one person just hadn't hit record on their phone yet at Daytona 500 Media Day, and so it's lost forever and nobody ever sees it. That's not going to happen on a Zoom call. So I think we're going to get a lot of great questions leading into the 500. It's not like there aren't any storylines. I mean, you've got Bubba Wallace and his brand new team with Denny Hamlin and MJ. You've got Chase Elliott getting ready to be the guy with the target on his back as far as everyone goes in the Cup field. You got Daniel Suarez with a new team with co-owner Pitbull that's on that 99 car. There are so many cool stories that, even though a lot of us that are so used to being at the track aren't going to be there, we are going to make sure your February is very fast and entertaining, I promise.
I absolutely love all of that. I mean, it's different. It's weird. You know, like for me, someone that, you know, gets to the track a handful times a year like that, that in media center experience, that talk to the driver, you know, outside the NASCAR holler after qualifying. I mean, that's unique for not just for me and what the content I deliver to the listeners of the show. That's still unique for me because I'm not Bob Pockrass. Right. I'm not the every day, every weekend at the grind. This is my office. It's still a kid in a candy store for me kind of thing, you know? So, I am.
Oh, trust me. I've been, you know, my first season with NASCAR on Fox was 2015, and they've allowed me to do things that if you would have asked 14-year-old CJ,
right,
if he would ever be able to do something like that, I would have thought you were crazy. But I've been doing this for a while. The next race I get to go to with NASCAR on Fox, I can promise you, I'll send you a video so that you can share it with the lap traffic audience. When they let me roll through that garage area and pull up and be within arm's reach of a live race car that's about to hit the track, yes, I will send you the video of me bawling my eyes out, dude. I'm not kidding.
I tell you what.
I've not lost a bit of that.
We might need to make that be the same race that we both get to.
I hope so, buddy.
Oh, man.
I'll record you crying, yes, you record me bawling,
deal,
and we'll just call it even.
Deal.
All right. That sounds fun.
Before I got one more for you, and this question came up over like the last 72 hours that I want to ask you, and then we're going to get into trucks. So I did a couple live videos interacting with some of the listeners over the last couple days on Twitter, and someone had asked me about the Rolex 24 that's coming up right around the corner, and you know we're all gonna. I mean, that's the prelude, right? Like that's from a NASCAR fan. That's
right.
Our oh man, it's close. You know, we're in the home stretch to going back to racing Daytona and the NASCAR season, and I've not been a fan for a while of non-point sports, whether it's an all-star race, whether it's an all-star hockey game, whatever it may be. I'm not a big fan of all-star stuff. But, man, what would catch my attention is if NASCAR ran all three series on the track. And I know that's kind of been talked about as a, you know, here and there every once in a while. But now that we're actually running the Daytona Road Course, I mean, the Clash to me is just so irrelevant from a fan perspective. I get the capital side of it, and I get the media side. I mean, I get the business aspect of it. I get that. But from a fan mm-hmm. aspect, you know, rather than have 13 cars that we have to continuously stretch the qualification aspects just so that we have a decent amount of cars in the field, what if we took, man, like the, you know, any guy that made the playoffs, all three series, spaced them out, ran them on the Daytona Road Course. It's we already have, you know, some modified stage formats for the Clash and the All-Star Race. Like, you know, is what would you I mean, the fan in you, not the business side in you, but the fan in you, is that something that you would be excited to watch?
I think if you gave me all the drivers, right, if you gave me the entire playoff field and the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series, and you stuck them in a race against each other, yeah, I'm gonna support that. I think that's going to be fun. I think the main thing that you got to figure out is how exciting of a show are we going to be able to put on if you put a Camping World truck and a Cup Series stock car with Kyle Busch in it out on the track, because I'm just letting you know that's going to be like bringing a Swiss Army knife to a machine gun.
Absolutely.
Fight, okay?
No, and I get that. So, yeah.
So I understand that it sounds awesome on paper. What I think the route there would be that if they, you know, if NASCAR were to say, and by the way, the Clash, come on, man, the Clash is, that is my, like, if the Daytona 500 is Christmas, I consider the Clash Thanksgiving, man. I'm just letting you know.
So oh, wow.
the Clash okay. is, I'm here for the Clash. It's fun. There's no pressure. Everybody gets to test. Think about the Clash 2020. It was insane. That was, I was just laughing at the end of that race because it was awesome. Like, no, I'm here for the Clash whenever they want to run that. But I do like the idea of potentially putting your playoffs contenders, you know, mano a mano against each other in a single race. But I think you got to level that playing field somehow. And I don't know how extensive that would be. I don't know how we necessarily make that work. But if you did something like Tony Stewart theory, where you gave everybody an even car and you told them to go nuts, because one, that's going to be easier on your teams, because yes, a lot of times these all-star races, a lot of times these races that aren't for points, that are just for money, you get teams questioning whether or not that's a rational business decision for them to put a car out there that they could potentially junk when they're not really winning any competitive advantage.
That's fair.
I think if you could figure out a way, like, find somebody that builds late models find somebody that can build you little cheap late models that isn't going to break the bank if your team goes out there and wads it up, and put them on that road course and let's see Matt Crafton race against Chase Elliott in the same vehicle. Let's see Johnny Sauter go out there and take on Noah Gregson in the same vehicle across the board. I would be on board with that, but putting a Cup car, an Xfinity car, and a NASCAR truck on the same track at the same time, you're going to have to show me how we're going to do that in order to get me on board with that idea.
Fair enough. I'm with you there. All right. Let's do what we're here to do, brother. Let's talk some NASCAR trucks. Let's talk some trucks. All right. So, Lap Traffic Nation, CJ and I actually had a call a couple weeks ago to lay out some of the topics, sort out the format for tonight, because this is unique for both of us to talk one series, not talking about any particular race. Wanted to give you guys an in-depth look at the truck series from all aspects. So before we get rolling, CJ, thank you again for dedicating some time to the show tonight. I really appreciate it. So I'm very excited to see what the final product of all this is going to be tonight.
Well, hey, I tell you, and not to say that I thought that it wasn't going to be high quality, but when you told me that I won the 2020 Guest of the Year for the Lap Traffic Podcast, I thought the title was going to be primarily the cool part of that. I'm like, I can tell everybody, yeah, I won that guest award for the podcast a few years ago. Little did I know that trophy is going to be one of the heaviest things I got on my desk. That thing is solid.
It's a paperweight, dude, brother.
I gotta work off that trophy, man. It's high quality. So no, absolutely. Absolutely my pleasure. I'm glad you let me be able to come on talk some trucks.
Yes, and I forgot to mention at the start of the show, tonight is the official kickoff of Season 5 of the Lab Traffic Podcast. I don't know how it took me 18 minutes before I forgot to hype that. But yes, tonight, Season 5 is kicking off with CJ to talk some trucks.
And I'm going to go ahead and call it right now in January. When we get to November, December voting.
Yes.
Guest of the Year 2021, CJ Wooliver. I'm going to call my shot.
Back to back. I love it. Yes. Yes. All right. So here's what we're going to do, Lab Traffic Nation. We're going to recap the 2020 season a little bit for the truck series. We're going to mix in some things that we're excited about in 2021. We are going to get in depth. We're going to talk about the teams, the drivers of the teams, what changed with them in the offseason, what we can expect from them. We got some predictions. We're going to mix in some schedule changes and all that good stuff. So I'm excited. Let's get started with this thing. We'll start with an easy one, CJ. What are some positive and negatives, some standout moments from the truck series in 2020, whether it be a driver, a race, a finish? You know, what stands out to you from last year?
Well, so during the off season, we did a top 25 moments of 20, or maybe it was top 20. We did the top moments of 2020 on NASCAR on Fox Digital with Bob Pockrath. And we went through the list and we did some honorable mentions toward the end, some that didn't quite make the list, but that we wanted to make sure that we pointed out. And what stood out to me is what I made sure had to be on that list was Jordan Anderson finishing second at Daytona in 2020. Because if anybody ever tells you that there are drivers in NASCAR that just go out and turn the laps and maybe just go out to get the numbers, and they're here for the paycheck. They're not here to win these races. I want you to go watch Jordan Anderson's interview with Alan Cabana in 2020 after the Daytona race. That boy finished second. He came down to the wire with that race. And Jordan Anderson, he sounded like me when I'm talking about NASCAR on a podcast. He got so excited. And really, I always try to go with what's my gut reaction. What's the first thing I think of? When you ask me what was something that stood out in 2020, at Jordan Anderson P2, I honestly think that given the work that we've seen that team put in, given the momentum that we saw them gain going to the end of 2020, I think Jordan Anderson builds on a solid 2020, and I think him and his team get the victory lane based off that momentum that they had last year. But also, we had Haley Deegan making her Truck Series debut and go out and put on a really good show for the fans and show that she's willing to learn and put in the time. And, you know, nobody expected her to go out and, you know, be top three, compete for the win in her very first race. These trucks are heavy. These trucks are tough. But Haley Deegan put on a show. And I feel like that's a name that we're going to have to bring up quite a few times when we're talking about trucks in 2021, because Haley Deegan's here to make a show, boys. I think she's going to be good.
I love that, man. Those are great. I'm glad you said Jordan, because I forgot about that, because that's like a year ago, and a lot of shit's happened.
It feels like 10 years ago, I know. But that Jordan Anderson interview after Daytona, when he was, I mean, they're banging doors, getting to the line for that win, and Jordan was so amped up. I love that interview. That's just something that stands out to me.
Absolutely, I love it. So for me, you know, looking back on stats and things of that nature, and I didn't realize the number. I thought it was like 6 or 7, but the fact that we had 9 different truck regulars win a race stood out for me in a 23-race season. Like, I love that aspect. I love when regulars in the Xfinity and the Truck Series are able to go out there and pick up wins. And for me, I loved that aspect of it. And I love the fact that Sheldon Creed is just, I mean, he's a, if you want to go, you know, what's your textbook definition of a NASCAR truck driver? I mean, Sheldon Creed's up there outside of the Johnny Sauters and the Matt Craftons. So I love that Sheldon Creed is our defending champion. I love he's coming back to defend the title. I think that's fantastic of it. And if I'm going to go back and if I'm going to pick a negative on the season, it's that Johnny Sauter flat out missed the mark. And to me,
And I think I messed up. I didn't necessarily. I'm not good at picking out negatives, but I saw that on your show rundown. And what you're about to talk about, that would certainly, I think, be my negative from the season too.
Yeah, no, and I'm not one to, you know, hey, I'm not driving a truck, like, so I've got no business criticizing, you know, but I mean, it stands out, right? So it stood out as like, and it, not necessarily a negative, but it was just like, if you had asked me who's going to have, from like a veteran perspective, the worst season, I wouldn't have said Johnny Sauter going into 2020. And it's just crazy when you look at how well the team overall did, you know, but it's I don't expect a repeat season of that. I mean, Johnny Sauter is to the Truck Series as Kyle Busch is to the Cup Series for 2020. And I don't see either of those two drivers having the same type of year again in 2021.
And that's another thing, too, that I want to make sure I bring up. It really shows you how competitive this series truly is. That somebody like Johnny Sauter, somebody that, you know, he's that guy that's been in the Truck Series, that stuck with the Truck Series, and he's basically synonymous with Truck Series success, him and Matt Crafton. And to see somebody like Johnny Sauter struggle as hard as he did in 2020, I think really that goes to show you how competitive this series has become and how easy it is to just miss the geometry by a fraction of a percentage, to just miss that speed at a fraction of a percentage, and it can affect your entire season. So I don't know if we'll see a bounce back from Johnny Sauter in 2021, but it certainly does go a long way to say, like, you never know how these things are going to work out in the Truck Series.
Absolutely, I'm with you. You know, and speaking of Johnny Sauter, I want to go off on a tangent for a minute here, and I want to talk about veterans in the truck series. This is a topic that you and I had felt when we chatted a week or so ago was worthy of some airtime, and I want to pose the question like this. Are we in our last era of having lifers in the truck series? You know, Sauter's been in the truck series since 2003. He's ran full-time since 2009. Crafton has been full-time in the series since 2001. We've recently lost guys like Hornaday, Bodine, who've made careers in the truck series. And with such young talent coming up so quickly through the ranks with the acquisition of the ARCA series, you know, will teams like Thor and GMS, who have had series vets, want to start pushing kids through the ranks? What do you think? Are we on our last leg of having these truck series veterans?
No, because really, I mean, think about it. How many are there? You know what I mean? We typically have these truck veterans. At any given time, we have three or four, right?
Yep.
We have a couple. And it seems like everybody else, it's kind of the learning curve. It's the, you start here and your sights are on cup. I really think somebody like me and you talked about it, like who would we pick to be that next Matt Crafton? Who would we pick to be maybe that next Johnny Sauter? As somebody that makes their name in the truck series, that kind of shows that you can make a career out of this series. And my mind goes to Grant Enfinger. I really think that the series fits him. I think that the schedule fits him. And, you know, you were talking about Sheldon Creed a minute ago. It's just kind of being that definitive truck series driver, just a guy that just exudes that truck series aura, I guess you will. I don't know. But Grant Enfinger's that guy to me.
I'm with you. Yes.
I'm not sure that we will, because back in the day, I mean, you had a hard time beating somebody like Ron Hornaday. You had a hard time beating somebody like Todd Bodine. They were competitive and a threat every single weekend. Do we see something like that? I'm not sure, because so many of these teams that are, you know, moving kids up, they've gotten so fast. Like back in the day when you had these teams that were basically injectors for Cup Stars and somewhere for Cup Stars to start, those teams weren't necessarily the fastest. They weren't the most competitive. It was, you know, you go out there, you put some time in, you get your experience, and you move to the Busch Series. And same thing from the Busch to the Cup Series. These small injector teams have gotten so fast. So I think that's a bigger factor than just having someone that's willing to commit to the truck series. It's going to be hard to go out and pick off wins, much harder than I think it was for somebody like Ron Hornaday. Ron's a legend, and he could you put a bunch of guys in a truck and you put him in a big wheel, he's going to be competitive, right? But I just... We've got kids that are slamming iRacing competition by the time they're 10 years old now, you know, and iRacing is so, it's so adaptive and it's so close to the real thing. It's not obviously, but it's so close to being able to learn from it. You know, you see somebody like a William Byron that debuted, and it seems like the second he jumped in a truck, he knew what he was doing. That's a huge factor as to why we could maybe not see something like that. I think we'll see guys stake their claim to the truck, but I don't know that we'll ever see them be quite as dominant consistently as we saw with the Ron Hornadays and the Todd Bodine.
I'm with you, and I can get behind that. So it's funny because when we were talking, it was like we almost said synonymously at the same point in time, Grant Enfinger on that. It just, like you said, it just fits everything about him, his personality, his character, his driving style, you know, to be in the trucks. Sure, I'd love to see him to move up, absolutely. But, yeah. I mean, if you can build a career.
I think he works in a truck.
Yeah.
I think he works in a truck.
Oh, he thrashes.
Not to sidetrack us too hard, but it's just, I may have told this story the last time we talked about trucks because it's one of my favorites. I think, if nothing else, I've told you this story. Just me and you talking about the show, but in between the 2014-2015 season, before I started at NASCAR on Fox, GMS Racing hired me to do PR for the team. And it ended up working out that after I started there, about a week later, NASCAR on Fox gave me the offer. I told everyone at GMS, like, I don't think I can pass this up. And we parted ways, you know, as admirably as you could hope for. Like, we all just understood, like, hey, let me know how I can help the team, but I got to go take this gig.
Sure.
But in 2014, in December 2014, I went to GMS for my first day. And I just went in. It was basically 2 days before Christmas. I didn't know if anybody was going to be there, but I wanted, you know, I just lost a job at MTS and was scared about whether or not I was going to be able to stay in the industry. So I just wanted to go into the shop to be like, I still work in NASCAR.
Right.
So I went to the shop. I met the guy there that gave me my badge to get in and, you know, gave me a few polos and a hat. So, okay, I'm part of the team at GMS. Well, I went in the shop just because I wanted to see race cars because that always makes me happy. I went in the shop and a guy rolled out from underneath it, covered in grease, just, you know, was ankle deep in this truck and working on it 2 days before Christmas. He had a hat on, was covered in grease, so much so that I couldn't recognize him. He walked up and I was like, hey, I'm CJ. I'm going to be doing PR for the team. I was expecting car chief, crew chief, something like that. Maybe I didn't know him really.
Yep.
And he stuck his hand up, said, yeah, I'm, you know, in that classic Grant Enfinger accent, but I'm Grant Enfinger. I just working. He's there by himself on December 23rd, covered in grease, working on that truck.
I love it.
And so Grant Enfinger, he's a guy that if he only ever does the truck series from here on out, he will have a fan in CJ Wooliver. I'm not supposed to be a fan. I'm supposed to be unbiased to everybody, but I can't help it. I love me some Grant Enfinger.
I am with you 100%. That's a cool ass story. I love every second about that. That is fantastic. All right, CJ, before we start talking some teams, I'm going to hit up some social media here real quick. I'll let you do yours at the end of the show. But everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram, at Lap Traffic PC. Thank you to everyone that's continued to help with the giveaway. Still got a little work to do to hit 5,500 followers, but got that awesome Clint Boyer back-to-back 124 diecast, got some Lap Traffic stickers, koozies, and the ever famous Lap Traffic travel mug as well in this giveaway. So keep the retweets and all that stuff going up. Appreciate you guys. Lap Traffic Fantasy registration is still open. And the responses are coming in hard on that. This year's Fantasy League is going to be awesome. And CJ, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is CJ Wooliver going to play in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League this year?
Man, I'll tell you, I love doing that kind of stuff. I get real competitive, and it makes me excited to watch the races even more than I already am. And so, yeah. Let's go fantasy racing, but I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I am going to forget to update stuff because when it gets race weekend, we hit the ground running.
Yes.
I'm usually off. My days off are Wednesday, Thursday, right? And so when 9 a.m. Friday morning rolls around, I'm like, all right, let's go. And I'm watching every lap. I'm posting everything to NASCAR on Fox. I'm building 5 or 6 graphics in one day. So I get pretty busy on race weekend. So I'm just going to say it. I am going to forget to update my stuff every now and then, but I'm going to attempt not to.
Excellent.
And I will play fantasy racing with you in the Lap Traffic Bus.
Yes, I love it. And hey, you know, you can send your picks in as early as like Tuesday before the race. So
okay. I will play.
Yes.
But I'm going to need you to send me reminders to change my stuff.
Oh,
can we
dude,
do that?
You are going to get I send out like a almost like a weekly update on the show. Like I give some inside stuff to people in the fantasy league and I break it down. Yes, you will get ample reminders.
You're going to have to be aggressive. Like CJ, seriously, change your stuff.
I will do that. I got you.
And perfect.
Hey, it's a chance to get another trophy too. So, you know, I mean, it's just more hardware.
Man, I tell you.
So,
yeah.
Excellent.
That does sound good.
I love that. All right, man. Are you ready to break down some truck teams here?
Let's do it.
All right, CJ, let's talk some teams here. I thought it'd be cool to maybe kind of break down, the 5 or 6 top teams that I think the listeners would at least be familiar with. Look at the drivers, look at the teams as a whole, and kind of just set the tone for what 2021 may look like here on January 27th and just kind of see where we're at. So I figured let's start with GMS. They're our defending driver champion here. So 2020, GMS picks up 10 wins, which is very solid from an organization standpoint. And what I look at as GMS is, man, I think they are setting themselves up for the future, because from a big-time team, a heavy hitter in the Truck Series, they've got the youngest average driver age out of anybody in terms of competition, as far as I'm concerned. So what are your thoughts on GMS in 2021?
I think that if you're ever going to talk about truck competition in the modern era, if you're going to talk about the powerhouses, if you're going to talk about somebody that is setting themselves up to be the new, I guess you could say, premier team, the new Hendrick, the new Joe Gibbs Racing. And it may not even be new. Like, it's not like the GMS dominance is brand new. We've been doing this now for a couple of years. But as we just talked about a minute ago, as somebody, I worked for GMS Racing in 2015 for a month before I went and took my new job at NASCAR on Fox. Those people know how to get the best out of every employee that they have. They know what somebody's weaknesses are, and they try to pair them with people that can enhance what they do well, that can fix what maybe they don't do that's better than someone else. GMS just has it down. And so I think if you want to be competitive in 2021, if you want to be able to put yourself at the top of these lists when we're talking about this season a year from now, you're going to have to go through GMS. And so I definitely think it's going to be another big year for GMS Racing.
I'm with you. You know, if you look at it, you got Sheldon Creed. He's their veteran. He's their oldest guy. He's 23 years old. And, oh, by the way, he's the defending champ. He was lights out this past year, sophomore year as a full-time driver. He's nailed it on the short tracks, the road courses, and the mile and a halves. You've got Zane Smith, 21 years old, 2 wins as a rookie, picked up wins at Dover and Michigan. They've got every track covered with a driver, and that's only going to trickle down towards their even younger talent. I love the fact that they've got Tyler Ankrum. I love Tyler Ankrum. I had him on the show after his first win and just had a great time with him. He follows the show. I've interacted with him on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like you were talking about Grant Enfinger. Grant Enfinger is basically the same way with the show. Anybody that's supported the show, I'm paying attention to, because they took time and effort out of their day to be on my show. I'm going to root for you. I'm going to pull for you, and I'm going to keep up with you. And I think Tyler Ankrum, you know, with GMS now, I think, man, he's going to be a force to reckon with. He may not be competing for wins week in, week out, but, man, I wouldn't be surprised he picks up his second win of his career and is competing for more top fives and top tens this year than he has before.
And another thing, too, like, I agree with everything you just said. I'm definitely going to always maybe have a couple more looks toward Grant Enfinger, because he's just so fun to watch. And he's somebody that feels like, you know, you could watch him go win a race in the Truck Series at Daytona, and then you could go watch him win a pure four race at Lonesome Pine Raceway the next day, and he's not going to seem out of place either time. So it's definitely fun to follow along with Grant Enfinger. But one thing that I've always been really impressed with as far as crew chiefs go, at GMS, they really know how to stick crew chiefs with a driver that they're really going to be able to take to the next level. I mean, when you look at somebody like a Jeff Stankiewicz, like, that's somebody that maybe 4 or 5 years ago, people would be like, that's a weird last name. I don't know how to say that. Who is that guy? And they've made him someone now that we frequently talk about when we're doing these trucks broadcasts. I mean, and you've got Jeff, you've got Bono Mannion, that's going to be with Zane Smith, which is incredible. Like, I think the driver crew chief pairing is what really helped set GMS apart from the other organization.
I'm with you there. All right, let's move to our second team, Thor Sport, 6 wins in 2020. When I was pulling stats for the lineups of everybody, I knew it was old, but man, you've got Sauter at 42, Crafton at 44, Grant at 35, and Ben Rhodes at 23. These guys are definitely the old workhorses of the truck series here for the most part. You got Sauter with 24 truck wins. You tell me if you knew this. If I told you Johnny Sauter has won 3 Xfinity races as well, I didn't realize that. I did not know. That was not in my wheelhouse memory that I could have told you Johnny Sauter has won 3 Xfinity races on top of his 24 truck wins.
Well, the thing, I mean, looking back at Johnny Sauter's career, I mean, you've got to look at it, he's not always just been the trucks guy. I mean, when you think back, I mean, this is a guy that just a couple of years ago we saw filling in the Daytona 500, and, yep. And he went out there and he did great. He was kind of the guy that Toyota could just insert into said car and he would do fine, because he's been doing this for so long that I wouldn't be shocked almost any stat she threw at me about Johnny Sauter. But Thor Sport and Johnny Sauter have just, of course, when we look back at the 2020 season, you're going to think, like, man, Johnny Sauter's got to change something up. I think 2021 is going to be better for him. I just think he's still trying to maybe, I think that manufacturer switch that they had may have been a part of it. I'm not sure. But Johnny Sauter is somebody that you can't ever completely write off. I don't know how well his 2021 season is going to go. But I think one way or the other, I think it'll either be another horrible year, or he's going to bounce back and we're going to be talking about his 4 or 5 wins. I don't think we're going to have middle of the ground from Johnny Sauter.
Fair enough. We've talked about Crafton a little bit. I mean, there's not much more to say about this guy. 3 championships. And one of those, his most recent, came without even winning a race that season. I mean, it's
Matt Crafton almost single-handedly broke the playoff format. So.
Yes. I mean, it's Matt Crafton. And you know, we talked about Grant Enfinger. Grant Enfinger had an amazing year last year, 4 wins. I just hope the best for that guy. But I want to talk about Ben Rhodes for a minute. He's their youngest guy, 3 wins. I want to see a little bit more out of Ben Rhodes. I think Ben Rhodes obviously probably wants to see a little bit more out of Ben Rhodes. But when you got those 3 guys working with you on the track as teammates, what's in your eyes, what's it take for Ben Rhodes to make it to that next level in competition?
Well, I really think that, you know, Ben Rhodes, we know, is somebody that he can drive a race car. We know what he's capable of doing. If you look back in 2014, I was working with NTS Motorsports, and we ran in the Truck Series and we ran in the K&M Pro Series. And in 2014, Ben Rhodes won 5 of the 16 races that he ran in the K&N Pro Series. So it was like every time you went out, you just thought, well, is this another one for Ben? So it just, I'm not sure if it's he just needs more hours behind the wheel just to kind of get comfortable with the truck. I think a lot of it, and I know this is going to maybe sound like a cop-out, but I think Ben Rhodes just has the worst luck when it comes to nights where he's running well. It seems like he can have a truck that's the fastest one out in the field easily. He could be having a great night and just thinking, oh, he's going to sail to this one. And then a goose come out and he run over it and it messed with his truck. He has some of the worst luck of any driver that I've seen over the last couple of years, just having fast nights come to a slow end.
You are not wrong.
I kind of hope that Lady Luck smiles on Ben Rhodes a little bit more in 2021, because that kid can wheel it. And if he can just put some of those finishes at the end of some of these really strong runs, he's going to be somebody that's going to also be a competitor, I think, this season, if he can just get that luck to fall his way.
Yes. I tell you, you know, Ben Rhodes reminds me of Brad Keselowski in so many ways, from on track, personality. Brad Case done well for himself. So I think Ben Rhodes is going to do well for himself too down the road.
Yeah, and Brad Case done really well, but it seems like Brad Case's speed and Brad Keselowski's success, it's pretty sporadic. It's like he'll have, you know, he wins the championship, and then how many years is it until he's actually a real competitor for the championship again?
Sure.
So it's kind of, I think a lot of times too, the same with Brad. He has really fast runs that go sideways because of terrible luck, not yep. just something that he did, not because he's not hitting his marks, not because he's not getting the most out of his car. If you go out and you're the fastest car and you're hitting your entry and exit perfectly every lap, and then a lap car in front of you just spins out and you wad it up, you just wadded it up. That's your result. So it's definitely with Ben. He's just going to have to be able to get that. Sometimes in NASCAR, it is just luck. It's whether or not something works out to your advantage. And Ben just needs that to happen for an entire season. And he'll be one of the guys that we're watching, I think, if he can just get luck on his side.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. All right, let's move over to KBM, 5 wins in 2020. No Christian Eckes back in the truck this year with KBM. You guys heard Christian last week on the show, and he said he's got some news to break. It's just coming down the pipe in a little bit. So I'm excited to hear what Christian Eckes' plans are for 2021. But that said, new in the seat at KBM, John Hunter Nemechek. And I'm going to tell you why I love this so much. John Hunter, 23 years old. I was stunned to think as how young John Hunter Nemechek still looks like he's in high school. He's just got one of them baby faces. So it's just hard to think of him being 23 years old already. And John Hunter has competed full time in every series already at 23 years old, and now going to be full time again in the truck series with KBM. I'm sorry, but if he's not a favorite, he has got to be on your dark horse sheet as someone that's going to pick up a few wins this year.
Absolutely. I know I've already talked about how strong GMS is going to be. I think Thor Sport has an opportunity to be strong if they can get some things to fall their way in 2021. John Hunter Nemechek, if he doesn't win the championship, he misses it by a spot in the final race at Phoenix. That's my call. I'm telling you right now. John Hunter finishes the season first or second in points in a full-time truck with Kyle Busch Motorsports. No cap.
That is a bold-ass prediction. I love that. See, you're going to do great in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. You're going to do just fine. And then you got Chandler Smith, 18 years old, 16 starts, 9 top tens, and then you've only got Kyle Busch as your leader behind all of this. I mean, KBM as a whole organization is going to be a force to be reckoned with this year, and I'm excited to see what they're going to do because of the fact you're going against, you know, you're a smaller team going against, you know, 2-4 car teams with GMS and Thor, but man, they got some bang behind them, man. That's for sure.
They really do. And I mean, they've got Rowdy Busch as their test director to figure out how you get fast. And so you could do a lot worse as far as learning what your trucks can and can't do and how you make them better. Then you could do a lot worse than having Kyle Busch on your side. But think about it. Think of John Hunter Nemechek's full-time season in other series, right? He's had quality rides, but so many of those races have been with sort of middle-of-the-pack equipment that's not going to go out. I mean, he's not been with the Hendrick Motorsports. He's not been with the Joe Gibbs Racing. KBM is an absolute powerhouse when they have the right driver in that car. I think that we definitely have the possibility of seeing some. Think about William Byron's season when he was in a Toyota. He just went out and absolutely set the world on fire. And I don't think William Byron is that much of a better driver than John Hunter Nemechek. This kid's got drive. This kid's got talent. this kid's got the pedigree. And, I mean, I talked with his dad in 2015, watching him run some races. And John told me, he told me that his dad was saying when John was coming up through the ranks when he was racing, I made him get out there and work on these race cars. It wasn't just me buying his way into a seat. It wasn't just me giving him a seat because, you know, because he's my son. He really made him work for it and made him go out and earn it. And so Joe instilled that kind of stuff in his son. I think he's just been waiting on that top-tier equipment to be able to go out and show what he can do. I think John Hunter Nemechek wins at least three races and is in that final to go fight for the championship in that last race, and I think he comes close to getting it done if he doesn't all the way.
Ah, man, I love that. That's fantastic. All right, let's move over to the one single truck powerhouse, if you will, in Hattori Racing. I love Hattori Racing. Brett was on a couple times when he was racing for them. He picked up the truck championship for them. And granted, it was a few years ago, but for a single car, I want to keep saying single car, single truck team to go out there, win a championship, that says a lot for what you can do as a single car team with some quality resources. And to go out there and compete and win in the truck series. You know, when Austin came over, who's been a good friend of the show, he had a little bit of a slower start, but he's finally settled in, picked up some wins. I mean, between Austin Hill and Brett Moffitt, they were some of the most popular picks in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League last year. They're always up there in a favorites from an odds perspective, you know, from a Vegas perspective. Austin Hill, I think, might fly under the radar to start off the season just because of all of the hype behind GMS, Thor, and KBM. But it's not going to be long before we're talking about Austin Hill in this 2021 Truck Series.
Yeah, I think Austin Hill is always, you know, he's found a way to find speed when sometimes it's not necessarily underneath it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He can work with the team and make them better. And we've seen him do that. You know, we've seen him come out the gate fast. We've seen him go through struggles with organizations. But, I mean, a lot of people don't want to necessarily consider Austin Hill a threat. But, I mean, when you look at his stats, he's won six races, right? And people think in the truck series. And people think, well, you know, he's been running since 2014. Yeah, but 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, he was winless.
Yep.
2019, four wins. 2020, two wins. I think Austin Hill is a serious contender. I don't know whether or not he can put another full season together with so many fast drivers and trucks that we're going to have this year. I think Austin Hill is going to do well, but I think he, by the end of the season, he'll wish that he had some better finishes at certain places. But I think he'll get at least a win. I don't know how many more he's going to have than that.
Sure, fair enough. All right, let's move over to what I'm going to call the most unique team or organization this year as far as what moves and things they've done from a silly season perspective, if you will. That's Nice Motorsports. They're expanding the organization. They've got Austin Wayne Self. They've got Ryan Truex. They've got Harson. I don't even know how to pronounce the dude's last name. 17 years old from my home state of Michigan, Portage, Michigan, just south of Kalamazoo. So I'm going to be keeping up and following him just because he's a hometown guy. You got Natalie Decker, and then you've got now truck veteran Brett Moffitt over at Nice Motorsports. You know, Nice made a name for themselves with Watermelon Man, and I'm excited to see what Nice is able to do this year. I think there might be some high expectations from an organization standpoint, but I think I guess let's put it this way. What's realistic expectations out of this team that you would say?
I think Nice Motors, and by the way, I'm pretty sure I'm saying this correctly, but Carson Hocevar. I think I'm saying that right.
I wasn't going to come up with that. So,
I'm 99% sure that it's Hocevar, the way you say that. But, you know, with Nice Motorsports, they've always taken an alternative route to trying to find speed. And you know, it's been something that people haven't, everyone kind of realizes that sometimes these motorsports will put somebody in the car because they need the money to try to invest in somebody that they think can go win. I'm not going to name names, but it happens sometimes.
Sure.
And so, but they still end up finding speed with these drivers that maybe necessarily aren't as good as some of the other drivers that they could put in the seat. They do a really good job on the business side of things and making sure that, you know, they've got the tire money, that they've got the entry money, that they can go and they can try to be competitive and build on it. And I think that because of that, that we'll continue to see speed out of Nice, but I really think you can't overstate how valuable it's going to be for them to have Brett Moffitt in that organization.
Were you surprised with that move that that's where Brett ended up, that he didn't move up full-time Xfinity Cup? I know I felt like the silly season rides were announced a lot sooner this year as a whole. So eventually spots just kind of kept trucking off, like, all right, well, that's not an option. I don't want to say that this was a step down per se, but it's definitely going to maybe be a little bit more of a harder season in terms of what Brett may have to do and get out of a truck versus what he started a truck with. Does that make sense?
Well, think about it. You know, what I think about is, remember when Brett Moffitt made the announcement that he was going to be going full-time for Hattori Racing, and we were all like, who?
Right. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And then we know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Brett Moffitt has the ability to elevate any organization that he is full-time committed to.
Sure.
And I think that he knows that. I think he sees his value. And I think that if they'll allow Brett Moffitt to grow with them, that maybe, I mean, I feel like it's kind of a lateral move because he can be so fast in underfunded equipment. It is a better move for Nice than it is for Brett. That's just, I don't think that's necessarily an out there statement. But I think he can build them up to where it will be a vertical move for him by the end of the season. We just got to wait for him to see it.
Fair. No, I'm with you there. All right, let's move over to David Gilliland Racing.
I've been excited about this one.
Yes. You know, and I kind of want to pair up Nice for a minute. You probably know where I'm going to go with this. You know, young team, David Gilliland Racing. We got Haley Deegan, 19 years old, Tanner Gray, 20, Taylor Gray, 15 years old. But that dude, man, freaking 8 top fives and 12 ARCA starts last year. So I'm excited to see him wheel some stuff this year. Young team. I think the one thing that's going to hurt that organization is the lack of an on-track veteran to kind of help coach these kids, because that's what they are, kids out there. What do you think?
I think that Haley Deegan had such a huge wave of support behind her because of what she could represent for the sport. I think Haley Deegan is someone that understands the type of reach that she could potentially have. I mean, she's the car girl on TikTok, you know, going viral because she's lip syncing a song on her way to go get Starbucks, right? And that's something that I feel like we've needed in the sport. But needed it in a way that it's attached to someone that can also straight up wheel a truck or a race car. I think we see a competitive season out of Haley Deegan. I think that her and David Gilliland Racing grow together. And I don't want to put so much pressure on this girl that everyone expects, like, oh, well, if she goes out and she's not won a race by the time we hit the playoffs, it's a bust. Right? Because that's not true. We all know that Haley Deegan, she knows how to put the time in in order to make sure that she's ready to move on. And, you know, Haley Deegan's not going to stay in the truck. We talk about some of these drivers and who we think could be a lifer in the truck series. And you know, there's some people that think that has a negative connotation to it. Haley Deegan's not staying put in the truck for very long.
No.
But I think she'll stay there long enough to make sure that she's checked all the boxes, that she knows what she's doing. I think she wins races. I really do. I think we see her hoisting trophies over trucks. I don't know if we see it in 2021, but we see it, and I think we see it with her and David Gilliland racing. I think if she stays there for a season or two, that we start seeing her really compete for trophies and really compete for championships toward the end. I am so excited to see this new team with these young guns go and try to get it done in the truck series in 2021. That is the story that I am most excited about covering this season.
I feel you. I'm excited about young guys racing against veterans. That's a narrative that writes itself. I love that. And so when we talk about Haley Deegan, my thing with her is I don't want the fans of the sport, I don't want to have what happened to Natalie Decker happen to Haley Deegan. And where I'm going with that is, you know, you could always say that, well, they were rushed through too quickly. And I think Natalie came up too quickly. You could make the argument that Haley's come up too quickly. But when the money's there, you go after that. And like I said, I get the business side of it. So you're gonna take the opportunities, and I'm all about that. You know, when you look at Natalie's
Haley didn't though, man. Like that's one thing. Like Haley Deegan could have went and drove a truck full time if she wanted to in 2019. She really could have.
Okay.
There were so many people anticipating this girl coming into the sport. She could, I mean, how long has it been now that we were asking Haley, hey, when are you going to drive a truck? Hey, when are you going to drive a truck?
Yep.
Hey, when are you going to drive a truck full time? Hey, when are you going to drive a truck full time? She could have, if she'd have wanted to drive Xfinity this year, somebody would have put her in the car.
Oh, I believe that.
I guarantee you that.
I believe that.
And I'm just going to say, like Natalie Decker's a good race car driver. She really is. But Haley Deegan is a better one.
Sure.
And I think Haley Deegan has legitimate talent outside of any other factors that might be amplifying her fame.
No, I'm
right?
with you there. Yeah,
regardless.
No, yeah.
Haley Deegan can flat out drive a race car, and I think she has taken far more time than she had to if it was all just about needing the money in order to get an X car.
That's fair.
If she'd have wanted to go drive an Xfinity, I bet if she really wanted to go drive Cup, somebody would have given her the money to go
Daytona
drive Cup.
At least a Daytona ride. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So
no, well,
I respect Haley for taking her time, and I think she's going to do well in the truck series.
No, I'm with you there. Where I was going to piggyback with that is I love the fact that we've got Natalie and Haley on the same circuit, same series, because that's going to do wonders with the sport in terms of a growth perspective from a truck series
yeah.
perspective. Because, you know, as much as Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton may have social media accounts, you know, they're, let's just, you know, let's call it what it is. They're not on social media, right? But Haley
nope.
Deegan, Natalie Decker, they're on social media. They're going to be tweeting to their fans about the races and about the performance
yeah.
and about the competition and about their sponsors. And I hope that people take that in and maybe tune into a race on a Friday night because
yeah.
they want to watch two awesome female competitors go out there and compete against guys that have been out there for 20 years and buy into the sport
and
get
them.
Excited about the sport.
And beat them.
Yes, and beat them. And
you know,
beat them, yes.
Natalie Decker, like not to, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, it's unfair maybe to just say like Haley Deegan is a better race car driver than Natalie Decker, but there's always going to be, you know, there's always going to be drivers that you can say, this person is better at doing this than this. Natalie Decker is a fantastic race car driver. She just is. But I think that Haley Deegan's ability to turn her influence and turn her fame outside of racing into sponsorship dollars, the fact that, you know, she does have some of those old diehard fans that are following her because they love her dad. You know, I think that Haley can get on her TikTok account and say, hey, guys, I'm going to be running in this truck tonight at 7 o'clock on FS1. You should watch me. Comment on this, and I'll give somebody a shout-out if I give an interview at the end of the race. Boom. That race pops off.
Yep.
She has that power, I think.
Yes, I agree.
I definitely think if Haley can make it to victory lane within the next two seasons and can make sure that people see that she can finish in the checkers, she can use that leverage that she has on social media to be one of the next great superstars in our sport, and it all starts with the trucks in 2021.
Ah, see? This people, this Lap Traffic Nation, is why we hype up the trucks, because of what CJ just said. 100%. Yep. I love it. All right.
I could be very wrong, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Hey, man, I love it. It sounds good to me.
Yep.
All right, I think that's pretty good from a team perspective there, CJ. What do you say we move over and talk for a minute about some of the new tracks that the Truck Series is going to be racing on? Because there are some new ones and some awesome ones. I'm going to rattle them off here real quick, and we can just hit them as we want. We've got the Daytona Road Course. We've got Bristol Dirt for the trucks. We're going to Coda in the trucks. I mean, we got Nashville. We got Knoxville. We're going to Watkins Glen. I am bummed that we're not going to Eldora. I really am. And I know there's some stuff circulating around in terms of what's going on behind that. And that's for another show at some point in time. But we're going to some sweet tracks. And, I mean, I'm skeptical about the cup cars on the dirt at Bristol, but I love every single thing about the trucks on dirt at Bristol.
Yeah, the first thing I want to make sure I say is I would like to forever thank Tony Stewart and all of the good people at Eldora for showing NASCAR and showing fans of NASCAR that we can make dirt in the modern era work. I am sad that we will not be going to Eldora this season. I hope that at some point, maybe down the road, that we are able to go back, even if it's just some sort of all-star race, maybe like we used to do. I love that track, and I will forever be thankful for the influence that Eldora has had on our sport. Because
100%.
Without Eldora, and without Tony Stewart getting us the trucks race at Eldora, we're not talking about Bristol Cup cars on dirt in 2021. And I am beside myself, excited to see the top NASCAR series, the top drivers in the world, go tackle some dirt at the Last Great Coliseum. And to be able to break that seal with the truck, I have actually been to a dirt race at Bristol, World of Outlaws, in person years and years ago. And I thought to myself, this is one of the craziest, most fun, insane things I have ever watched. And I mean, it might, you know, I have no idea how this is going to go. We're trying something new. You never find cool new stuff if you don't try it.
Yes.
And so we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be great. And I think it is going to turn that spring Bristol race back into the iconic weekend that it had always been. The spring Bristol weekend is iconic, and it's always kind of been overshadowed by the fall weekend, because that's the night race at Bristol. I mean, you don't get more NASCAR than that, right?
Right.
This gives the spring an opportunity to stand out. It gives Fox's visit to Bristol a chance to really stand out, because, I mean, come on, our friends on the competitive side of the broadcast team, they've always got that night race. We're done as far as our full-time broadcast of NASCAR Cup racing by the time Bristol rolls around for the night race. So I am excited to have a Bristol race on dirt. And, man, trucks on dirt at Bristol. I've got cold chills just talking about it, dude. That is the number one thing. Bristol dirt is the number one thing I am most excited about for the 2021 season. There, I said it.
I love it. Hey, I love it. And hey, that's not our only truck race on dirt this year. We're going to Knoxville too, man. Like, I mean, I'm excited about that. I love Nashville. I'm excited for that. I mean, I know everyone's excited about COTA, and it's not that I'm not. I've never seen a race there. I've never watched a race there. If I'm going to talk about road courses that I'm most excited about from a trucks perspective, I can't wait to watch these trucks at Watkins Glen. I mean, that is just going to be an incredible race, and I would say after the truck Bristol dirt race, it is the truck Watkins Glen race that I'm most excited about from a new track perspective.
Yeah, I went to Watkins Glen with MTS back in 2014, and I can remember thinking to myself, like, man, we need to get some trucks out here.
Yeah.
And so I'm very excited that it's just a few years later and we're waiting on that to happen. I'm sad that I'm not going to be able to see it in person, but I'm going to eventually. Like, when it comes time that we can get back out on track and we can get back in the garage as members of the media, that's going to be one that I'm going to have to knock off my list real quick, because trucks at Watkins Glen, like I said, ain't nothing going to beat Bristol on dirt until that happens. But once we get through that, then yeah, I'm going to start focusing on Watkins Glen for these trucks.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love it. And one other cool thing that I'm very excited about, and I know you are as well, the Triple Truck Challenge. I love the fact that we're going to get trucks at Darlington, COTA, Charlotte. I'm a big fan of the Dash for Cash and the Xfinity Series. I give that a lot of attention on the show, and I'm going to do the same thing with the Triple Truck Challenge. These teams, to have the opportunity to go out and win some money for the team outside of just the purse, I think it's awesome. There'll be a lot of hype behind that. I was kind of bummed last year. You know, we had that hype with, like, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and the Truck Series. You know, and that was – that. I went hard in the paint building that up because I loved everything about that bounty and all that. You know, we still got it. It was just a little delayed. And I think with obviously the pandemic being, you know, so critical in terms of how it affected everyone's daily lives, you know, things that weren't as important in life, like sports and all that, kind of obviously took a back road. So that it was hard to recreate that hype that was leading up to that. But I hope something like that happens again around that, because I think it's great for the sport.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, anytime that you can give some of these trucks guys an opportunity to go out and be able to make some more money to be faster, because it's, you know, I always kind of think about it in Cup, whenever you have, you know, the all-star race and, you know, you have bonuses and that sort of thing. It's good. And a lot of times a vast portion of it ends up going to charity and going to good causes. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But in the trucks, these bonuses that we start talking about with Triple Truck Challenge, it can really make or break a team sometimes.
Yes.
You know, these trucks guys, there are so many of them that are on shoestring budgets. Maybe not some of the teams necessarily that we've been hyping up so hard tonight, but you can go out and win a couple of these races, man. You can save a season. And so that's one thing that I think makes these races so important, why it makes them so much fun to watch and why it makes them so much fun to cover for us, because it just really everything that you would normally have for a trucks weekend, this is just kind of like injecting that ether, man. It just makes it a little bit hotter, a little bit faster. And I love the Triple Truck Challenge. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. I am with you 100%. All right, CJ. What do you say we start to close this thing out? How about we do some predictions? You've made some bold-ass predictions earlier on. What do you say we make some fantasy predictions? Let's get in CJ's fantasy head here. What do you say we pick an early? Let's do a Daytona truck win and the Final Four and championship win. How does that sound, sir?
We can certainly do that.
All right.
Do you want to just go for it? Or you want to break these down? How you want to do
that? No, go for it. I tell you what. We'll start with Daytona. Who is our truck Daytona winner? And I guess you want to give me a why. I'll take a why all day.
I'm going to do for my Daytona winner for the trucks in 2021. Johnny Sauter goes out and gets that one. I think he shows us. I think he's got something to prove. I think he's upset. I think 2020 hurt, and I think he's going to go out and he's going to give it every ounce he's got. They get less time on track than they have before. It's a more condensed speed week schedule. You got to be right coming off the truck. And we got a lot of young guns that need as much practice as they can. So I think that first race, that first super speedway they hit, I think we see Johnny Sauter getting the Daytona win for the truck series.
Ooh, I like where you're at with that one, man. I am going to go with Hattori Racing's Austin Hill for the Daytona 500.
That's not a bad one.
I think he's
they do that again. So yes, back to back. Yes. Did they win it last year? Yeah.
Yes. I think that team's got the plate racing dialed in. I think they survive a few big ones, and I think they're going to do just fine at the Daytona the weekend this year. I was going to say 500, and I know it's not 500.
And no, he didn't win the Daytona. What was I thinking? He won the Daytona race in 2019, right? I don't know what I was thinking there. I just pulled that out of nowhere.
That's so all right.
Grant Infinger won it last year. Yes. I skipped the whole year.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay, all right. Who is your final four in the truck series at Phoenix?
All right. So I think I already spilled the beans earlier on who I think my championship pick is going to be for 2021. But I do think that when we're down to the wire and we've got four people and it's time to go, I think we see Sheldon Creed with a spot in the championship four. I think we see Chandler Smith with a spot in the championship four. I think that we see Brett Moffitt with a spot in the championship four. And then my pick to win it all, to go home with the big trophy, is John Hunter Nemechek in Compass Motorsports.
Ah, man, that is a unique Final Four for the truck series. I'm matching you on some of them. I definitely think Creed is back in there. I think we've got at least a representative from Thor Sport. And just to be the homer on it, I'm going to go with Grant Enfinger getting some redemption and putting him in it. I'm going to put Moffitt in it as well. And I'm going to put John Hunter Nemechek in it as well. The homer in me wants Grant Enfinger to get it. But I am going to go with Brett Moffitt getting his second truck championship, first year at Nice Motorsports. I kind of teased the opposite of that earlier. That was on purpose. But I think Moffitt repeats as champion.
I like it.
Yes. All right, man. All right. Let's close it out with a couple of things here. One thing that I want to do is talk about Fox and their commitment to the truck series. I think it's awesome. They've had the truck series for a long time. You guys do great coverage. I love how excited you are about the truck series, kind of running the behind the scenes thing with social media, all the graphics and stuff like that you talked about at the start of the show. It's just awesome. What do you know about Fox's love for the truck series?
I cannot wait to go back racing. And really, you know, we've got everything that we do with Speed Weeks. There's so much racing. There's so much action. But when I really start to feel like, all right, the season is here. We're done. The off season's over. It's time to go racing for points. It's time for somebody to lock themselves in for a spot in the championship, in the spot in the playoffs. The trucks race at Daytona, man, just gets me hyped to know that we're in a race weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go racing at Daytona. So we're going to do a lot for all three of the series this year. We've got a lot of fun stuff on NASCAR on Fox Digital coming as we lead up to the race. We're going to have maybe a couple fan votes that we're going to start rolling out to see if maybe we can determine who the fans pick. And in certain, there's not a whole lot that I want to give away just yet because we're still kind of rolling that out, but we're going to give fans a chance to let their voices be heard and to make sure that we give them some opportunities to vote on things that we work with the TV side of stuff. But this is a year of change. This is a year that is going to be unlike the seasons in the past. It's going to be what I think and what our promotion says, best season ever, because we've got so many new faces. We've got so many new teams. We've got Michael Jordan in the sport. We've got Pitbull in the sport. We've got Bubba Wallace driving that number 23 car for Michael Jordan in this sport. We've got new tracks. We've got new surfaces. We're going to be racing on dirt at the Last Great Coliseum. I tell you, if 2021 doesn't have anything to excite you, you're not a NASCAR fan, and I'm just going to say it, because if you can't find something to get excited about in 2021, if it doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. So I am as excited as I can be for a season. I wish I could see more of it in person, but it's important to be safe. It's important to make sure that we keep everyone in our sports safe so that we can continue to do our jobs on the weekend to entertain everyone and give them that escape from what can be a difficult set of social circumstances, and news can be scary sometimes. So I hope NASCAR is able to help everybody like we did in 2020, and eventually we'll be back in the garage, and I can't wait.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. That like I said, that was very well said. We didn't even talk about, mainly because it's on the Cup side of things, but, you know, like you mentioned, Michael Jordan and Pitbull. I mean, the amount of crossover and promotion from different sports and different, you know, the music. I mean, the different genres and all that. Like, I mean, the amount I can't even put the right word together, because it's so big, the crossover that could happen with all of that, and attracting new fans on social media and new fans in the seats once permitted, and new viewers on the TV screens Friday to Sunday, it's so awesome for the sport. And I hope everybody is as embracing about that, because it's really only going to help the sport. It's not going to hurt the sport. New money in the sport's great. New sponsors, new business, all of that is just going to just be so incredible, and I'm so excited about that. Yeah. That is for sure. I'll wrap it with
this. It's going to be a crazy ride. Yes. So come along with us. It's your home for NASCAR, NASCAR on Fox.
I love it. All right, we'll wrap with this. Well, one last fun one. Once given the green flag to get to a race, whether it's through the business side of things or the fun side of things, you know, what's a couple tracks that you're excited to get to once you're able to?
Bristol dirt.
Yes,
I want to get to them all. I love every racetrack equally, except 2021 Bristol dirt. That's my home track. That's the first place I ever went to see a race. They're doing something that we've not seen in the Cup Series in a generation. And I assume everybody's probably sick of the hair about it from me now. But if there's any race I can go to in 2021, it will be dirt at Bristol.
I love it. Lap Traffic Nation. Oh, man, I'm excited for this season. It's almost here. CJ, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
If they want to see some NASCAR stuff, some Star Wars nerd stuff, and some pictures of a tiny little dog, you can follow me. It's at CJ Wolliver. That's Oliver with a W. But also, if you're just wanting to find some NASCAR content, you need to follow the work handle. That's at NASCAR on Fox with the blue check mark across the board.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 218 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Keep the giveaway retweet going. Go sign up for the 2021 Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Huge thanks to CJ Wolliver for calling into the show and hanging out, talking some trucks. Next week, I am very excited about this. We've got the Daytona track president. We've got Michael McDowell, and we're going to have Landon Castle. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!